Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another roundtable episode of Film Sack. That's right, there's no movie to talk about here. It's more of a broader topic, and we do these occasionally. We're happy to be doing this one right around the holidays, and we hope we find you all well. I'm Scott Johnson with two Brians. Hello, Brians.
Hello. Hi, one Scott.
and one Randy. Hi, Randy.
Oh, hello.
We're back. You guys excited to talk about director's cuts and why they work and why they don't? And all that sort of thing.
I am so ready to talk about that. And if we get it wrong, we'll just go back and edit it later.
Yeah. Why not?
That's great. The extended edition of this podcast is going to be very
love it.
Randy, earlier you posted a list of maybe the ones that had the most substantial changes, at least famously anyway.
Well, and I think that's where you come at this, this topic in the first place. Like if a director's cut, you know, added 2 minutes and didn't really change the film, I don't think anybody ever really talks about it. You know, there's all kinds of examples of that. And there's like we had this trend between like 2002 and maybe 15 years later of these unrated editions of movies where they just went back and added like a minute of people using the F word or whatever. And it doesn't change the movie at all. That's not what I think people talk about.
No, but that is a key to this, right? If the director themselves doesn't come and do a massive tweak, maybe his original vision or stuff he had ideas about later, or the studio constrained his ability to do what he wanted creatively, and now he has the ability to do it. Blade Runner comes to mind. That's one that's a popular one. That's the key, right? We're not talking about, made a special edition of some movie where he added 4 bits that got taken out, and the director had really nothing to do with this decision. This is the studio making an extended edition of a thing. That's not this.
No, always about the director being upset that he was cut off at the knees.
His vision.
Yes.
Okay, but I want to draw a distinction between an extended edition that adds some cut scenes and the Lord of the Rings. we're absolutely talking about the Lord of the Rings when what you have is essentially an 8-hour movie that becomes an almost 12-hour movie. Yeah. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And that's the one I don't like. I don't like those editions of the thing. Well, you can talk more about those, but yes, go ahead.
And so isn't that sometimes I think that's a temptation by a director, especially somebody like Peter Jackson, who films everything and films it forever. And he doesn't mind letting a movie breathe, but he knows that you can't have a 6-hour movie at release at launch, right? You can't do that.
Right. He knows that going in, right? There's no way that Peter Jackson was like, "Oi, I thought I could do."
That's my version. I was fully expecting that everything I filmed is going to make it into the release.
Right. Yeah. So they know some of this, and I think some of it is a business decision because they know that they'll later have these extended editions that are going to make bank, and they did. I mean, they really made money on those extended editions at a time where DVD and then Blu-ray were at their peak.
It is kind of frustrating because I own Lord of the Rings series in several locations, and I have all kinds of different variations of this stupid thing. And I'm like, I never know which one I want to watch.
How many versions did you have to buy of that series?
Once you've watched the extended editions a couple of times, you can't not watch them. Like if you watch the theatrical release, you'll feel something, and it feels wrong when you skip over something that you're expecting.
It's interesting though, because if I know people who swear by those extended editions and that's all they'll see now. To them, that's the movie.
Right.
I struggle with that. And it's not for length. It's for the girth. Specialness of the mm-hmm. moment. It's for girth. It's for those special feelings you have in the theater about girth.
Yeah.
Right.
About the movie while you're watching it. And you kind of, that's what imprints itself on you. So later when you say, hey, I've got another hour and a half of this. I don't tie those things into what I saw. And to me, it's like, what's this extra shit? Like the Aliens one, which is more of an extended edition anyway, but that one, the second Alien movie, is really bad. That one, I cannot watch the extended scenes. I can't do it. I don't like it. We did it here for the show, and that was fine. Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
And I'm glad we did it for the show. But if I'm ever going to rewatch that again, and I will many times, I don't want to see that one. I want to see what I think of as the original.
It's already, Alien is kind of like a slow ride, and it's kind of nice to give it a little bit of brevity.
You,
so
you don't need the Newt and her family on the train. Is that no. the specific part that you're...
Yes, the train, yeah. the part earlier where she meets her mother.
Right. Oh, right. Right. Ripley.
Yeah.
Right.
So the auto no guns
development going there. Much,
yeah. The scene right. with the auto guns and them, they keep running out of ammo and that's how they know the aliens are in that hallway mm-hmm. or whatever. They're just mm-hmm. kind of superfluous and not needed. And so I don't appreciate it for what it is. But then you say to me, hey, Scott, did you like Blade Runner in the theater? Yes, I did. Which do you prefer? The director's cut 100 times over.
Yeah, bring me the origami unicorn cut because that is the only way I'll watch it now.
Yes, right. Yeah. I need Deckard to be a replicant. I don't need this happy. Yes. Let's almost watch the beginning of The Shining again. Moment.
Yeah, where they're driving off into the sunset. Example. Such bullcrap, the unneeded and also unwanted narration that Harrison Ford gives at the beginning or throughout mm-hmm. the whole thing. That was not meant to be there. You could tell when Harrison recorded it in post that he didn't want to do it. He knew the director hated it. So you just had that feeling,
and it
right?
also, like, you don't want to hear Harrison Ford using the N-word.
No, I don't. I don't want to hear that now. I don't want to hear that then.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever hear it. You can call a Wookiee a bad name, but that's it. That's all you get.
That Nerf herder should be the only N-word that Harrison Ford ever says.
That's the only one we want. But that's the thing is I feel like I'm now pushing us in a corner where we realize that a lot of these stories, apocryphal or otherwise, about how we go from theatrical to director's cut being superior is almost always Ridley Scott movies. Why? Mm-hmm. Why is it him?
So it's there's some other examples. Like look at this list, and there are some examples of directors who had a better vision than someone else imparted on the original film mm-hmm. and they are able to wrestle it back toward what they liked. Mm-hmm. We talked about this a bit with Watchmen. I feel like it's probably a gradient, and that's why it's so interesting mm-hmm. because on one end you have films where it's just unnecessary, completely unnecessary. The film is kind of going to be what it is no matter what you add or subtract. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end, you have, oh, wow, that was a steaming pile of crap that got fixed later. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so like my example on the first side of the gradient is Leon the Professional, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a film where Luc Besson had some ideas that it feels like the ideas occurred to him after the fact. And that's, you're not going to really change this movie that much. It's a very straightforward story, right? Maybe you got a little bit too much of an underage girl in the thing, right? So you just pull back on that, right? That sort of thing, but you're not going to really change the movie.
Yeah.
And then on the other end, you know, you're talking about like Blade Runner, like steaming pile of crap compared to all the fixes, right?
Yeah
in comparison, I mean, I still think, you know, non-director's cut of Blade Runner is still a fantastic movie, and it's the first version I ever saw. I was in California, I was visiting my grandparents, but they had a Irish dancing thing that they were going to, so they're like, we're gonna order you a pizza and get you whatever movie you want. And I'm like, I want to see Blade Runner. So they went to the video store and got it, and I watched it, you know.
That is like my dream night, like having the them going, I'm going to get you some pizza and a movie.
Exactly. And like, they just cater to me basically.
You really tripped a wire in my head on that too. It's like, I want to go.
I'm going
to
stay here. Right.
I want that now. Here. You know what sucks is now it's too easy for us now to say, I'm doing this this Saturday, everyone leave me alone.
Yeah.
But I like it better when there are authority figures giving me the wherewithal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not doing any research to find out if it's a movie that 11-year-old Brian should be watching. Exactly, 12-year-old or however old Blade I Runner. Was when that came out.
That sounds fine. Blade Runner, that sounds fine.
Sounds fine. Sure, Someone running blades. Okay, go.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's like doing RoboCop or something when you're a kid. That's just like, the parents don't know. And it's fine. No, you got away with something. I'm proud of you. I think that's amazing. And I want to go back in time and live that night one more time. That's
Yeah.
But anyway.
So now that we've established this gradient, right? It goes from fixes that, you really doesn't change the movie at all wildly changing the movie. There's all sorts of room in the middle for things. Like we started with the Lord of the Rings. That's an example of, and there's several of them where it's so great. The film is just great and you just want more. That's all.
Right.
Yeah. You, the audience, want more. The people who made the film want to put out more. Right. Yeah. And so, like, Dances with Wolves, I think, is a good example. You just have just more. It was a good movie. Like, hey, what was edited out of that? Well, it's pretty good stuff. Okay, well, let's add that, and people will watch it and probably enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Whereas some of them, George Lucas is famous for adding stuff or maybe changing a little thing. Didn't really change his movies, right? The especially episode 4, take it or leave it, man, but he didn't change the movie.
Yeah.
But my gosh, did he introduce controversy?
Yeah.
I love the idea of how he was
doing on shot first. Yeah.
I did not appreciate it at the time. And I still like having the option. I didn't like how Lucas locked us into so many things at one point in time. He had such control over everything. And as viewers and consumers, I like to purchase things in the way that I want to purchase them. So if I want the theatrical release version of this movie and I want it on the most recent format DVD, I feel like he should be a nice guy and offer that to me. But he's very much like, no, this is my thing.
It's the only version that exists anymore now.
And it's going to be like this.
Live with it.
Yeah. You turd.
Yeah. Don't worry. Disney will finish what I started.
It's the only reason I still have the laser discs of Star Wars is so that I can have a digital version, albeit one that I have to flip the album or flip the discs over three times during the watching.
Yeah.
And not they'll ever
can't believe it's 2023 and don't have an auto flipper.
Well, my memory may be a little saucy on this.
Oh, but I know what you're about to say, and you're absolutely right. They did come out with a version that lets you watch the original release. It had a brown, it was a box set with a brown cover.
Yeah.
A Tatooine cover.
Yeah, and it was DVD.
But we had a bitch a lot to get that.
Oh, yeah, we did. But it was also very limited. You had to get real lucky to get it. They didn't run very many. And now, if I go to Disney Plus, is that even an option? I can't watch both versions.
No, I think you only get the special edition.
See, why wouldn't they want to cater to that? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it feels redundant for them to have two versions of essentially the same film.
It might be
server load or
there might be licensing problems. There's all kinds of issues we're probably not thinking of. But it sucks as viewers that we can't get access to the thing we want. And I don't mind seeing the special stuff that Lucas put in, but he's got to give me the option to still have the original stuff in my
format. It is the only way you're going to see McClunky. Greedo's uttering that great line, McClunky.
Yeah, McClunky should not be removed for any reason.
Right. Part of what's going on is, you have a movie, but I also have nostalgia. I have ownership of this thing as well. Not just you. I have memories. I have feelings attached in my brain to the experience. And if you take that away from me, I'm a drug addict.
Yeah, but it's interesting, right? Because maybe this is a whole other roundtable, but this concept of whose is it? Like, is it ours now? Once you put it out, is it ours as much as it is yours, George Lucas, or anyone else?
There's a reason why there's public domain, because eventually the culture of the art impact resonates in social culture, everything. And so it has to be accessible to those people. You can't just block it off. You know what I mean?
No, that's a good point. I don't know.
Has there ever been like a illustration you made that initially you weren't proud of? You went back and you redid it and said, all right, this is kind of what I was originally trying to get to.
I had kind of the opposite thing happen where I created a thing and then somebody took it You know, the, in fact, it's Star Wars related. That's funny.
Is it the walker, the girl with the walker?
No. It's the one with the guy. Yeah, the Admiral Snack Bar one.
Oh, right.
And that one took off and was really popular for me and sold a ton. But when I started to see it happen, pop out on Reddit and other places online.
Oh, right.
They changed it from it's a snack. No, they changed it from it's a wrap to it's a snack. And I don't know why they did that or why they thought that was better.
It rhymes less.
It actually rhymes less. But that one went viral like a whole bunch of times. So for some people, it's obviously not the scale of Star Wars, but for some people, that's the version. Yeah. And when I show up and go, no, my original vision was rap, not snack. They kind of bought
whatever,
they're
art
like,
man.
I had a guy say, I'll buy your print.
Plugs to us now.
I had a guy say, I'll buy your print, but you got to change it to snack.
Oh, no, really? Oh,
and I did it. And I almost didn't.
Did you?
I almost didn't do it because I was just
I am sell out.
I was annoyed.
No, I appreciate I appreciate that you had to, you know, you had to make that call and you did. Yeah. You didn't get it. Yeah. I like that.
That's I didn't know what else to do, honestly, because it was a nice guy. He was a listener of shows. He likes the art. He collected a bunch of stuff. He's like, yeah, but I only think if it was snack. So so some of that's going on with Lucas. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, what I meant for this to be was midichlorians. And people are like, no. My Star Wars isn't about magic
to kiss
things.
The sister.
Yeah. Right? Like there's so much stuff you have to retcon anyway when you're trying to make a gigantic multi-decade series like Star Wars. Right. People get hung up on the little things and it must drive him crazy, but I'm torn. Like he did create it. It is his thing.
Yeah.
He probably should have some say. And right now he has none, by the way.
Should have a lot of say. And
these days he has zero say because he doesn't own it anymore. He sold it.
What do you make of the extreme reactions? Like, I mean, we talk a lot about
ruined my childhood.
Always, you just always just ignore trolls, right? But there is definitely a thing under that. There's a reason that people so extremely react to changes.
I think they don't know how to form. They don't know how to have a rational conversation about it, and that's unfortunate. But I think you're right. There's a real emotion behind it about this thing that affected their childhood. I mean, I think all of us, four of us, can probably speak to how much Star Wars, as an example, affected us growing up. And there have been times where I've been like that. You've ruined my childhood, kind of attitude.
Yeah.
I think maturity helps, and you just get older and you deal with it. But you know, and part of that is accepting. Well. Don't forget, this was a movie that was greenlit so money could be made. This isn't some, you know, it happened to be a giant cultural touchstone for generations of people, but that wasn't the original plan. The original plan was he had an idea, studio said, okay, sure, and they made a sci-fi movie that they weren't sure was going to succeed. And once you accept the reality of what those things are and that they're not some magical, you know, fantastic boondoggle in the sky that you are sharing in a slight sun ray from, and that is your personal sun ray. Once you get past all that, it's a little easier to talk about it rationally and not be a dork, you know?
Yeah.
So I hope, you know,
but emotions, man.
No, emotions are real. They're real. Like I guess I've gotten to a point now though, where it's like, if they screw something up in Star Wars and they do quite a bit, I just kind of roll my eyes and go, oh, all right. I still have the old stuff. It's fine. And that goes to Dunaway's point.
As long as I got the old stuff, I'm fine. Yeah.
And you can take those stories. It doesn't matter what's official canon, what's not. You can say, you know what? I actually really did like Splinter of the Mind's Eye. I really did like this other thing and say, yeah, it may not be canon, but I really enjoyed it. And I still think back on enjoying it. And it doesn't, you know even though they retconned it out, doesn't mean it wasn't a real thing.
You know what real fans do? Mm. They go make fan edits.
Mm. Oh, sure.
Man, you ought to see all the fan edits of Superman 2 after some of that footage from the Richard Donner cuts
the plastic wrap S that pulls non into the
according to one of the 20 different versions you want to see, Ibbit. Sometimes some of the versions are nothing.
The versions,
right? Some of the versions it's nothing but that. It's just
it's
Superman
just that over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's like a 10-hour loop on YouTube. It's amazing. It's a great cut.
Oh, I love those. Those are the most superfluous waste of time, and I respect them. You know what I mean? Like for somebody having the idea of saying, let's have him ripping that thing off his chest and covering what's his name in it over and over and over for 10 hours,
right,
just because we can. Like, it's such a colossal waste of time, bandwidth, effort, everything. I love it. I want that to never not be a possible thing. That's true freedom, ladies and gentlemen.
That's true freedom.
Yeah.
You know what I
think there's what our forefathers fought for.
That's right.
So it was long, so many years ago.
Yeah.
I think you're raising an interesting question, which is, are there people who just always like more of the thing they like? And are there people who don't, like, really genuinely don't, like,
just because they changed it, kind of thing?
Right. I would just prefer to see the thing that I originally saw. That's what got set in my brain as being the thing. Mm. And I just don't want you to, I don't need ads or subtractions. Like, just give me
that's
the thing again.
That's when nostalgia is higher on the list of the reasons why you like, why you want to revisit something. Right.
Yeah, right. As opposed to you want to see the extended version.
Right.
Because not because of nostalgia, but because of just the love of the art.
Well, that's the trick that the Lord of the Rings played and that, say, Star Wars or others didn't. The nostalgia is you see a thing, it sets in your brain, you love it forever, and then 25 years later, they dick with it. And then it feels discordant. And it's like suddenly there's a bird in the room and you're trying to have dinner. You're like, wait a minute, this isn't like what I expected. This feels weird to have this bird in here. Well, if you do Lord of the Rings style, even though I don't really like the extended editions, they get away with it a bit more because they said, here's the movie. Welcome to the theater. Enjoy yourselves. By the way, about a year from now, there'll be a big 6 DVD set that will have all the makings of and an extended edition of the thing. So people are already roped into the full nostalgia will be just a little bit over time, about a year's amount of time before they go, ooh, I get to see Boromir say more shit. Awesome.
Right. Right.
But it's not the same as waiting 25 years and then having tweaks to the thing you remember. You know?
How did we feel that way when James Cameron said, yep, still not done with Terminator 2. How about the third director's cut?
Oh, I forgot about that. He's in trouble right now, right? Isn't he in trouble because he just put out a True Lies redo that was AI upscaled?
Oh, that's super paint, like computer painty.
Upscaled to 4K. I saw. It's horrible.
Yeah, horrible. It is horrible.
I can't wait to watch that. I'm serious.
Yeah, just so you can see. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And what it comes to is with most movies, I'm just not precious about what it used to look like. Like Terminator 2, punch it up. Let's go. I am not precious about that movie. And there are going to be movies that I am. This is not one of them. True Lies. We sacked it. You know, you heard my opinions. It's just not, you know, it's not important. But I want to see if they messed it up or something. That sounds cool.
Yeah. Sure. Everyone looks like rubber. It's a weird effect. Like it's AI assisted upscaling is what it is. And it's kind of a new use of it. They've been trying to work on it for years. I have no doubt one day this will be it'll be like digital photography. Nobody will know the difference. Mm-hmm.
It's True Lies Polar Express Edition.
Yeah. So you got like Tom Arnold looking all stretchy and funky. Nobody wants that. Not even Tom Arnold wants that.
No.
You know? Or maybe he does, or maybe Roseanne wants
maybe
that.
Maybe he does.
But yeah, like when are we the final cut and when are the directors the final cut? Because like right now, we talk about Ridley Scott in such hallowed tones when it comes to so many classic films. But right now he's embroiled in a bit of a mess because he took a bunch of liberties around the historical stuff with Napoleon. And everybody has dragged him for it. I've never seen such a dragging. And he's not responding great himself. He comes back with quips like, I think it said it last week. He's like, what'd he say? Deal with it? Or what was his thing?
It was, deal with it.
Yeah, like big deal. Like, you can tell directors are getting tired of getting, they don't like the internet, I don't think. But
No, they really don't.
Yeah. The internet comments have really changed a lot. And I don't even know why most of these creators have no problem with totally ignoring the internet. But for some reason, they feel like they got to engage. And I'm like, okay.
Well, some of it, too, is the press events they go to, which they are used to. The person sitting in the chair across from them will go, now, we've noticed online on Twitter about 4,000 people liked this tweet and asked this question. So they're forcing it on him in a way. And if I'm Ridley Scott, like everybody's been going, you know, they've been mad at him. But I kind of feel for him. Not that he needs me to feel for him. He's got loads of money. And even before he was a filmmaker, he's rich. Like
poor rich man.
Yeah. But I respect him creatively. I think he's one of the best filmmakers that we've ever produced, meaning humanity, all of those things. And he's responsible for a lot of stuff I love. So I look at it as, well, yeah, of course you're going to be annoyed. There's a reason Scorsese is annoyed every time somebody says something about, you know, your movie's too long or it's not an MCU film or whatever the stuff he's always dodging those bullets to. And then he creates his own controversy by responding to it. What do we expect these old farts to say?
Yeah.
They came from a time, you know, where this, none of this was a thing. And now it's suddenly a thing and it's being foisted upon them. Yeah. Let them make what they're going to make. And then we judge it like we always did.
Let's just wait till they die and talk about them behind their back, just like we've always done.
Exactly, where they can't say anything. It's just, it's just us. Yeah,
what's wrong with that?
So let me steer us to the big example of this topic. It's kind of the reason we're having this discussion, because we have been noticing that the movie Payback is streaming here and there the last few months. You know, listeners have said, hey, you should sack Payback.
Hell yeah.
And my reaction is always, which version? Which version is streaming? Because I have a pretty visceral reaction to what happened with the movie Payback. So Brian Helgeland is making this movie. In the middle of making the movie, he wins an Oscar for LA Confidential and he gets fired.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing.
It is weird.
Like, he's making a movie, he gets fired, and then other people continue and finish the film and release it. And it's a really good movie. And that's upsetting to Brian Helgeland, right? Because, that sucks, you know? Like, he wasn't involved in any of the editing, any of the final decisions. And it's a good movie. It's very entertaining, in my opinion, the theatrical release.
Love that movie,
So Brian Helgeland waits in the wings for, I don't know, 15 years or something, 10 years. He waits for 10 years. And then he is able to get an opportunity to take all of the footage and all the stuff and make his own version of Payback. Mm-hmm. And it's called Straight Up. Mm-hmm. Payback Straight Up. And, you know, we refer now to it as a director's cut. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, it's not as good as the theatrical release. I mean, just not as good. It's a different movie.
It
tells a somewhat different story, and it doesn't have any of the same good humor. The original theatrical release is a fun movie, mm-hmm. and Straight Up is not. It's not, he doesn't want it to be fun. You could tell he's got feelings as you're watching this thing.
Yeah.
And I just find that really fascinating, because unlike Ridley Scott adding 16 minutes to Gladiator because you like Gladiator and everybody likes the movie and wants more, Brian Helgeland messes around, you know, he tries to make a different movie.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's because there's some antagonism with somebody else taking over your project, right? Like, that's
kind absolutely.
Of, how could you avoid that? You know, be hard. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 1,000%, by the way. That movie is amazing, and I can't stand the director's cut. It's or whatever they would you call it? Straight up.
Is the Brian Helgeland re-edit of the original.
And footage. I was so excited to see that when it came out, because I was like, oh, sweet. The original guy. All right. Let's see what he has to say. It'll only be great, I'm sure.
Right,
Nope. Big nope.
And I've ever seen the original. So
and, you guys, you so saw like the good one.
To try to bolster my own nonsense here, what I found myself really quickly saying is, I'll sack this. I would love to sack this, but only the original, not the director's cut. Right. If you guys want to, if the director's cut is what's streaming, we're not sacking it. And I'm like, why am I so angry about this? And the answer is because I want you and everyone to see the good movie. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it's not that I have like some anger at the director. Like, I don't care. I want you to enjoy this thing that I enjoy.
Yeah, I agree with you. And also, I would feel the opposite about Blade Runner. I would want you to see the good one, and I would want that to be the director's cut and not theatrical. And I don't know why there's a difference. I guess the difference is it's the proof in the pudding. Is the movie demonstrably better than when you left it? And if it is, it's hard to ignore. Like, the director's cut of Blade Runner is excellent, and it's hard to say any otherwise. It doesn't feel like a waste of time or extra for nothing or a money grab. It feels like a genuine artistic improvement. And I would say that's definitely true of Ridley Scott's own Kingdom of Heaven, which I think the theatrical is barely watchable, and the director's cut is one of his best movies, if not his best movie. How does that even work? Like, how is that even possible? But that's how you know, is just the work, right? Is the work good enough?
Right.
And I don't
think, once you start drinking real coffee and stop drinking Sanka, can you go back to Sanka?
No.
I don't think so.
No, you can't.
Okay, no, but
it's the best part of waking up.
The conclusion we're all circling around is, if you have a person who has never drank coffee and is interested in drinking coffee, and mm-hmm. you want to ease them into it,
right.
you yeah. might give them Sanka first.
Like, start with this and see what you think of it, and then I'm really going to blow your mind.
Plus PTSD. PTSD if you can handle Sanka first. Huh? How about that?
I feel like that counts double for movies. Like, if someone knows nothing about Lord of the Rings, I would insist that they watch shorter versions of the film.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it just makes sense to me.
That's a good point. Like, if you're going to watch, if you're saying it's my first time, I don't know if I even like fantasy, I'd say to do the theatricals. They're already kind of long, you know, they're already long movies. Yeah. And then see what you think. And then if you really enjoyed yourself, hey, you got an extra treat for you, because these are good extended editions. It's not like they're bad. They don't ruin the movies. But if they want them, they can have them. And maybe that's the way to always do it. Maybe we don't treat the theater like the dumping ground, you know.
You start by asking them, do you like 3-hour movies or like 2.5-hour movies? And then they depending look on their you. Answer. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I personally would like, I don't know, how long are those extended? They're like 4 hours, right?
Something they're like 4 hours. That's true, yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
3 hours in a pipe dream. That's what's keeping me from seeing Killers of the Flower Moon in theaters. It's like, all right, I need a place where I can pause, maybe split into a 2-night movie event.
Yeah. I'm making my own miniseries is what I'm doing.
Yes,
exactly. Now, glad you brought that up, because my third favorite film of 2015 is Hateful Eight. I loved Hateful Eight. It's my favorite Tarantino movie. It's one of my favorite westerns. Love it. It's very long. It's a long movie. And when I heard he was doing a director's cut, I went, oh my gosh, can you actually make that longer? That's going to be insane. What they did instead is they made a version for Netflix that is broken up as a miniseries. So it's in chunks, like in parts. And the movie happens to lend itself really well for these breaks, because they're perfect story breaks. And it's so much more of a consumable piece of content in that form than an extended edition film release would have been. But they keep both on the service. So if I want to go watch that, I can choose. If I want just the theatrical quick run, I can do that. Like, more of that, please.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
More choices, I guess.
You know, don't overwhelm us with choice. I don't want 15 versions, but
don't leave it up to the director or the fans to choose the definitive version. Give all the versions and let the people get what they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let the people have what they want.
Let them have virgins. Oh, wait. Versions, you said. Versions?
Version. I'm sorry. Well,
they can just listen to cake.
All right. We're getting toward the end here. Do we want to say what our best and least, like our favorite and least favorite of this sort of stuff is? Like, for me, it's Kingdom of Heaven's my favorite, and the alien thing was my least favorite. I hated it.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
So what, but I'm curious about, like, the alien thing. You didn't actually say what really grinds your gears with alien.
Part of it was finding out that it wasn't really James Cameron's idea. It was just the studio saying, hey, let's put some of this cut footage back in here and sell it again. That annoyed me. But also what they put in was absolutely not needed for that film to work the way it works.
Just a hey, let's make you buy this DVD again kind of thing.
Yeah, for a film that I otherwise consider to be a perfect action film, perfect science fiction film, I love that movie. Adding this extra stuff made me not like it as much, and that's bad. That's bad news. So I didn't like that one at all. In Kingdom of Heaven's case, it's so gloriously good with the edit than it was without it. And I don't know why. I don't know what they were smoking. I don't know why Ridley Scott's always bonking heads with studio execs. Like, what's the problem there? By this time, he's a very well-established, you know, core of the industry. Why do they have to keep fighting with him? I don't know, but there you are.
So I can go next. I have said many times that Zack Snyder's Justice League is an abomination. It's like, I couldn't watch it. It was so, you know, it was just such a... changing the format on the screen is just mind-blowing to me that someone thought that was a good idea. And then, as I've said many, many times, like, the Lord of the Rings could... If there was more, I would watch more. It is so... it's just wonderful to me that you know, my favorite movies of all time got this treatment and were able to be, you know, get like hours more of my favorite films. Just, yeah. I love that.
That's kind of a perfect storm with them though, right? I said it earlier, but it's just like they knew what they were doing when they, I think the extended versions were in their heads a long time before they finished filming, but it also coincided with Peter Jackson wanting to have more of this anyway. So it, both the artistic side and the financial side got served. And I like that. I wish that was true more often. That alien thing,
that's, right, sucker.
That's not that at all. That's some bullshit. I'm pretty sure this new stuff with the AI upscaling stuff is less about Cameron being involved and more about studios.
Oh, money, yeah.
Money grab.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Ibbit, what's your...
Mine we've talked about before, but it's Blade Runner. And it's just the fact that the director's cut makes the character of Deckard so much deeper and more complex that it turns it into a brand new film. And I won't, you know, yeah, the original version, great, nostalgia, grandparents, pizza, blah, blah, blah. But the director's cut and that changing of Deckard into a replicant or adding the question if he's a replicant, I think is brilliant.
And you really disliked the meddling with Star Wars?
I disliked, you know, which one I disliked, and that was going to be my worst, was Return of the Jedi. And taking Sebastian Shaw out and replacing with Hayden Christensen, I felt like was such an egregious
slap in the face
to the actor. Exactly.
Yeah.
Let me look at you with my own eyes for the last time, because I'm going to get replaced with the teenager that we're using.
With my young eyes, you'll see.
Right. Through. Exactly.
Yeah. That was really lame.
It still makes me gasp when I get to the end of Return of the Jedi and there's all of these people from other planets celebrating.
Yeah.
Like toppling over the statues of the Emperor and stuff like that.
And they got rid of the Yub Yub song, which I, you know, it's not great, but I loved it as a kid.
I wanted the Yub Yub. I didn't need a new disco version of the Ewok song.
No, I did not. You know what? I think we're all agreement on that, but I will say this, of all of the 25-year anniversary tweaks that he did to the Star Wars series for that 97 release, Empire Strikes Back came through the cleanest, and not just because they didn't add a ton, but what they did change enhanced some things. Like they made Cloud City seem cooler. It had windows. It had vistas. Yes. Like there was cool stuff in there, and nothing got massively changed. So once again, the best Star Wars movie is still the best Star Wars movie. Regardless.
I mean, that's the hallmark of that is that I had to think about what was added for the special edition of Empire Strikes Back, whereas the Han shooting first and the Sebastian Shaw replacement. Is it really Sebastian Shaw? Is it really the same name as the guy from the X-Men? I think it is.
Sebastian Stan.
No, Sebastian that is Stan? It's not Sebastian.
No,
that's
Stan. Winter Soldier.
That's Winter Soldier. Hold on. Okay.
Is it really Sebastian Stan?
Let's see. Who played Vader? Who played Vader face? Is what I remember.
Played Vader face. Yeah.
every actor, here we go. I think I found it.
I see what you're saying. Yes, yeah, Sebastian Shaw is the name of a character in the Marvel Universe.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, Sebastian Shaw.
And you were, and Randy was, I get right now. Yeah, the whole MCU thing just came crashing.
Oh,
down.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay. You were saying, you know, the Winter Soldier actor is Sebastian Stan. Shut up.
Yeah, okay. No, you're right. Bob Anderson. No, that's the stunt guy.
No, Sebastian Shaw is the name of the actor who played Skywalker.
Yeah, you're totally right. Bob Anderson was the guy.
But I always questioned myself. I'm like, am I getting this guy confused with the Marvel mutant, the Black King or whatever he is?
Right.
Dunaway, how about you?
Yeah, what do you say?
Oh, sure. Why not? So I hate the director's cut of Minority Report. Just kidding. So like Ibbit, is hard to argue about Blade Runner, the director's cut. I can't argue that, but I will tell you, right up there for me was my enjoyment of Superman 2 when I watched the Donner cut, and it took away a lot of that silliness that was in Superman 2, because I really enjoy Superman 1. It's a little more serious take, it's a little more somber, and when they put all that humor in the Superman 2 and the tone changed, I didn't care for that. So seeing Donner come back and go,
Here's what I meant to do.
Yeah. It's a very enjoyable movie, in my opinion, at this point.
I agree. That's a good one.
On the bad side, Donnie Darko, the director's cut. I need to hear him talk so much. But I will say the most egregious cut, which was a studio cut recently on streaming, is when Disney cut out When Love Is Gone from the Muppets Christmas Carol. There's a song in there that's called When Love Is Gone.
Why'd they cut that
not
out?
Not everybody likes it. What's that?
Why'd they cut it out?
I don't know if it was they didn't feel like it suited the movie or something. It just didn't hold up like the rest of them. I don't know exactly what the excuse was.
So Henson's son said to Variety magazine that Disney lost the negatives for it. So when they went to upscale the movie, they didn't have the ability.
They only lost the negatives for the song. That's the only part they lost.
It wasn't nefarious. It was just. It sounds like horseshit.
It sounds a little nefarious. Yeah. Oh, that's the one part of this that we don't have. Sorry.
Yeah. Crazy. The only part is the entire song. That's all we don't have. Weird. Yeah.
I have the VHS version. We can just upload it, Disney. Just contact me. We got it.
Yeah.
We got
this, and man. Then James Cameron can AI up it to 4K and look like shit. So,
right.
Yeah, that's not
by the way,
good call.
Supposed to be an even newer version that's been released very recently that includes it back. They've added When Love Is Gone back to
very good.
Is that the one where they're in the house and it's Little Timmy and all that stuff?
That is the story, but the song itself is when they're out in there and he's going back through his past and they're out there skating around.
Ice skating. It's the past one where he's growing up and it's the school and
He's kind of like he's a young man. He's a young man.
It's before we get to
love.
Yeah, it's before we get to come inside, man, and know me better. Before
get
that,
to know me better, man. Yeah,
I love that guy. By the way, I'll admit to this, I hadn't read Christmas Carol before that movie came out. That movie, and when I finally read the book, I went, oh, right. There aren't two Marleys.
Oh, right.
And also
had Marley.
Waldorf.
Right. Yeah. But the movie had him sing to get to know and come and know me better, man. That whole thing. That's all in the book. Like they pulled that straight out of there. So on the one hand, they were like tweaking it. And on the other hand, they were being really realistic because I thought that big Muppet talked weird. Like who says that?
Yeah.
Who says, come on in and get to know me better, man? It's like nobody does. But they're doing that book.
Yeah,
anyway, I get it. How do you decide to put Statler or Waldorf? You can't say, well, which one would you make Marley? You got to have them both.
Yeah. And then the song, Marley and Marley, that whole thing. I got to watch that before the season's over. I love that movie so much. All right. Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts. What are your favorites out there? What are your, what do you think the biggest mistakes in director's cuts are? Yeah. We'd love to hear it. Send us an email, filmsack@gmail.com, and tell us your thoughts. You can also text us at 801-471-0462. Do not forget that our next movie is one that you need to try to watch before January, because it's probably going to go away, and that is The Arrival with Charlie Sheen.
Get on it. The Arrival.
Arrival.
No substitutes.
If you don't see Charlie Sheen in the first 5 minutes, you're watching the wrong one.
That's right.
If Amy Adams is talking, you're watching the wrong one.
Yes. If Clint Barton shows up and talks to Amy Adams and crosses the DC MCU line,
you've gone really far into the
wrong. Yeah. Forrest Whitaker is very doubtful about everything that's going on. You're in the wrong movie. Okay.
Maybe finish that one up and then watch.
Yeah. And don't get us wrong. Arrival, the Villeneuve movie, is amazing. You should see it.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's not the really same movie.
With such urgency.
Exactly. We'll do that next week. And that'll finish out our year. We're very excited about that. We hope you're having a fantastic holiday for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Keep it in.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.